Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. I will have on Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince. We will talk about what happened in the 96-91 overtime defeat of the Illini at the hands of the Northwestern Wildcats. We'll be right back in 1 minute.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
And as promised, this is Mike Kegley here with Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince. A overtime defeat, 96-91 to Northwestern. A lot of uncharacteristic things happened to the Illini tonight. 13-35 on layups was certainly probably one of the stats that jump out at you. Illinois also allowed, a 55% shooting game against them, which is very unusual for them. So there were a lot of things here that happened. A 5-point loss. There were a lot of things that are coachable that you're going to have to get over. So Brad, what were your thoughts coming out of this game?
Well, I mean, you have to be better defensively. It's just that simple. If you don't play defense, you're not going to win in the Big Ten. And it's not just – I think sometimes we get caught up. That Illinois really – I know what we're going to talk about here, but I will tell you my biggest issue was that when Illinois played Northwestern in Champaign, they beat them by a million. But late in the game, Northwestern kept running pin downs. And yes, it was against the Illinois subs.
So explain to some fans what a pin down is, Brad.
They're running guys off baseline screens where the big guy comes in and he pins down and then he's looking to seal. Illinois kept getting caught on those screens. And they did it in the first time when they played Northwestern. Northwestern was running these guys and they kept catching them in the same actions at the end of the game. And I said, I said they found something they can run against Illinois. And Illinois clearly wasn't ready for it because it happened over and over and over. Did they make some tough shots? I thought, Boo Booey made tough shots. Illinois wasn't disciplined on multiple occasions. They just let him get to spots where they, where he's going to score. But defensively, it broke down. They made poor decisions, poor reads on things. Two guys would chase one guy, just poor communication. It's like they were just completely out of sync defensively. And some of it, you got to give North, they went under a ball screen for Bowie. I mean, you got to give though Northwestern credit for making shots, but at the same time, some of that's Illinois. Now here's the other thing I'll say. Northwestern got away with more illegal screens than I've seen in any game, and I think it set the tone. I think Illinois really needed to blow by some of those screens and just blow through them. I mean, you just got it. When those guys hip check you, you got to get through it instead of going around it. I used to tell I just had one of my coaches that I coach with, and he texted me, remember you used to work on practice? We used to work on not getting screened. That was like a practice thing. We are not going to get screened. We're going to get through every screen. Well, they didn't. It's clearly they didn't. I mean, you remember Trent Frazier getting screened? It didn't happen, right? He doesn't get screened.
Or he got hit so hard that they'd have to call foul.
Correct. And so that's what they didn't do. They ran into screens. They ran around screens. They kept opens. Just wasn't a very well – they were not disciplined, didn't do a good job defensively at all. And that's the game. I mean, we can complain about offense, but shoot, they scored a really high level. 1.247 points per possession. But in the second half, it was 1.375 points per possession, which is – just elite. But that's about the whole time they shot 16 of 38 at the rim, which is hard to do. I mean, that takes some skills.
Yeah. Ked?
My first thing was, I guess if I'm going to react to this, the screens. There was a coach last year, I don't remember who it was. I could not tell you who it was that complained about the way Northwestern screens. I know the fans. I mean, it stinks to lose. It stinks. I have to give Northwestern credit. They made some tough I don't want to cuss on this podcast. Shots. Every single time they answer, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't give a damn if Illinois wins the Big Ten. I could give two rats if they win the Big Ten. This is a good basketball team. They're good. When was the last time you seen the Illinois basketball go on the road and answer the call every single time? It stinks that they lost. I hope there's enough coaches on the staff to make some corrections like that on a neutral side or in a tournament game. I like their chances, and I don't care if people get mad at me, unfriend me. You want to know why they missed so many layups? Damn it, let's call a spade. They were getting hit. Justin Harmon goes to the basket, and he's 2 feet away, and he short arms it. Those are fouls, and you don't get them on the road. Okay, so what? It stinks. It is what it is. This is a very good basketball team that lost to a hungry basketball team on the road. This same team beat Purdue at home. Illinois battle. I look at the entire picture. Yes, there's things they got to work on. I was impressed with Marcus Domas. I was impressed with Quincy, the entire team. Defensively, we talked about it before the air. We can all agree to disagree. I don't know what the assignment was. I think we got hurt when Terrence Shannon switched. Brad said that Boo Booey just torched Terrence Shannon as well. I have to go back and I have to look at that. But I know that's what Northwestern wanted, and it worked to their advantage. You take the loss, you look at what it is, what it is. Illinois was not winning the Big Ten anyway. It was going to be Purdue. That was going to be a gift to them. Finishing second and third is icing on the cake. What I want to see them do is what they did tonight, continue to compete. They're good. Go in the tournament and punish people, because this is a very, very good team, a very unique team.
Well, and look, when I coached AAU, I never had the most talented team. And what Northwestern does a great job of is they foul or they put their body contact low. So there were several times when Illini guys tried to jump, they get hipped. Perfect, because you just don't get that call, not in the Big Ten. And then on picks, and you know, when you stick your legs out really wide, you're going to get called. Or when you lean your upper body, you're going to get called for on a pick for an offensive foul. When you kind of stick your butt out, they don't really call that as much, and they do that every pick. So I thought they were extremely well coached, because referees' hand or eyes are up by the hands where the ball is. And I think that's a tactic that a lot of us who have less talented teams, you know, that's how you coach them, so you can get a couple extra points here and there. But I do think Illinois has a couple things. One is on the layups. I know you're getting contact, but I guess at some point you tell your guys who can elevate, go ahead and dunk the ball and see if we can try to get a foul on that, because the refs won't be able to ignore it. You know, and then the other thing is I really, Brad talked about this, and I know this is old basketball, but you know, we weren't allowed to switch. So we had to learn how to get through picks. And when I saw four possessions in a row, you know, where you had the switch on Booey, it put Booey in a really nice position. The counter to that was at the end, Domask and Bully Ball is good. It's a good move. I'm not going to argue with the shot. It just didn't fall. But I would have liked to see Illinois pull some guys out of the lane so that Domask had a little bit more room to use his size advantage. I know that's
or to get a foul.
Right, but, and I know that's parsing a little bit, but
I think they were trying to get the offensive rebound if he missed. That's what they wanted to get. Why they had those guys crash.
No, I get that,
Brad. I think the one thing that happened on that last play with Domask, they were trying to get – they got him at the top because it was instead of being a back down on the wing, because with the back down on the wing, it's very difficult to control time and score, right? And
right.
Control time and space. So – you had to get some action that went at like a certain time on the shot on the clock. And with the booty ball, it's difficult to do that, 'cause you don't know when you're going to be able to get to that spot. But I like him better ISO'd on the wing there, even for a pull-up jump shot, because that's where he's more comfortable going to that baseline side or getting that pull-up. But they didn't want to make a cross court pass late. I get it, because they probably didn't want to get a turnover and a pick two, and you didn't want to lose in that situation.
No, I'm totally with you. And like I said,
so here's my contention why, you know, we're going to talk about Boo Booey being the greatest things ever, and he's a great player. Boo Booey in the second half was 4 out of 12, and all those isolation things, he was 4 out of 12 for 9 points, despite all those isolation plays. The problem was you can't let him create for everybody else. You have to stay in front of him and then make him make that difficult shot in the paint. And you have to defend. And they did not. What disappoints me is you can't leave the ground. You can't leave the ground when he jumps up.
I don't think they defended the pick and roll very well either, especially in the post. We made the post got like $1 million. You could see it. I know we're all watching it. You saw it developing. I don't know if it was fatigue, but maybe Chris Collins made adjustments. I don't know, but they looked a little – they were a step slow. But on the flip side, go back and look in the first half and early in the second half. They had a hand in their face. There were the guys making shots over Coleman. They couldn't see it. They played good. And it stinks because we're criticizing their defense. They put up 90-something points against one of the best defensive teams in the country. They didn't miss. But, I mean, I don't know what Illinois' field goal percentage was. I mean, overall, what did Illinois shoot from the field tonight?
41%, 46% from three. So, yeah, but when you shoot, 16 out of 38 at the rim, you're not going to have a very good percentage. You get 38 shots within 2 feet of the basket and you only make 16, you're probably not going to win very often.
You're one for three on dunks, and again, you've got to figure out how to make those, because I don't know a team in America that can say we're going to miss 20 layups and expect to win.
No, it doesn't happen. And people are saying, well, they're contested. Well, do you think most shots at the rim are not going to be contested? I mean, do you think they just give you layups? Of course they're contested. But that you're playing basketball, score. I don't know. And I get a kick out of you. I always get a kick out of people saying there was no adjustments, didn't change this, blah, blah, blah. Okay. The same people that are complaining about lack of adjustments on defense were totally complaining about the – you can't play drop coverage against Boo Booey. He's hitting – you're going to give him those floaters? I mean, literally, it's on our message board. I mean, it doesn't go away. You can read what they're saying. And then the same people after the game when they start switching are like, well, they didn't make any adjustments. That would be an adjustment. So it's just – you have to understand that this is not like – it's not seventh grade basketball. Illinois did play zone one possession. That was kind of
cool. Yes, which was
one shocking. Possession. Gave up an open three, but hey, they missed it. So it was good. But no, they I think it was out of a timeout, so it was good. It was kind of a shocker, right? Come out and get him to take a bad shot. But and did Collins do a good job? I thought he did a great job. I think he runs some great offensive actions. Illinois plays a different style of offense. Underwood's style of offense is different than what Collins runs. Collins runs more of the motion type aspect, same thing they run at Duke off all the screens. Illinois doesn't run that. So it doesn't look the same, but I can't complain about an offense that's, even though they can only shoot 40 some percent at the rim, when they shoot as a team over 60%, 6% or something like that as a team, then they still score 91 points. I can't complain about the offense. This was a loss that's on the defense, and maybe it's the game plan. Maybe they had a bad idea, but I think the problem is you let guys get going. You let Barry and Barnizer get rolling, and they start making shots. Now they have confidence. And it's real when guys are confident, they get confidence. It is really hard to do this, and only had multiple times when they had defensive breakdowns, and you can't have defensive breakdowns if you're going to be a great defensive team. And that's why that's where it's holding them back from being great right now, is the defensive side of the basketball. Offensively, again, we can complain about the shot or this shot or whatever, but if you continue to score about 1.3 points per possession, you're going to win if you guard at all. I mean, if you are a good defensive team, but they have not been a good defensive team over the past, 8 games. And some of that, I think, is I don't even think Terrence Shannon is even close to the level of defender he was.
He's clearly – and look, I'm not at all – he's clearly not where he needs to be.
No, he's not where he was, again, in the Missouri game. Missouri game, he was virtually – he was incredible, right? And so he's not at that level right now.
Yeah, it's going to take time.
But it may take a couple weeks for him to get there. They have to find a way to survive while he's not playing his best.
Yeah, and again, I go back. I don't like the predictability. That's always going to be me. If you're doing the same thing where Collins, because Collins basically did pull the Jim Harbaugh. I'm going to run this play, and if I get the matchup for Bowie, I'm just going to keep running it because good things are happening. Whether it's whether he's getting an open shot, whether it's causing issues, because they were having all sorts of issues, as you said, getting pinned, and even just covering a basic pick and roll. So it was working for them. And as a coach, I will look at him and say one thing. he was continuously putting his team in a position where they were at the advantage. And for whatever reason, Illinois was out of sorts, and they struggled with things that, you know, a few games ago they weren't having issues with. And
No, Mike, and I'll tell you something else. We didn't talk about this. We are all going to disagree with the play going in overtime. Here's my complaint. If you're going to call timeout, I mean, if it's one-on-one, I'm cool with it. But damn it, everybody else would have been on one side of the court. I would have made sure if I'm going to go one-on-one, there's going to be no help for Marcus, because I like my chances with him down on the court, one-on-one. He would, knowing the game situation on the clock, I like my chances with him scoring. I just think that's what frustrated a lot of people, because what was that play? We've seen that a million times. And if that's what you want to run, I'm cool with it. Now, Brad, you mentioned the difference between that one and the Boo-Booey play. I mean, there was a hell of a lot more space for him to get his shot off than what Marcus did. And it was one-on-one. It was the same play. That didn't cost him the game, but I was hoping like hell that they would have done some kind of action. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, because he would have been the guy who got the shot. That was definitely the guy that I would have had the ball in their hands. But I'd be damned if I would have had a second and third option around the rim if he couldn't have got a layup. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, like I said, you call play, and it's always interesting. Domask was the guy you probably wanted the ball in his hands, because he was the leading scorer and he was having a good game.
He's the best player right now.
Yeah. And so I don't have a problem with that. And I do think you'll see them trying to get Terrence more and more involved, because right now I think, you know, he had to take 3 weeks off. And I agree with one thing Underwood said, which is, you know, you can run sprints and do all that stuff. That's not going to give you the adrenaline pump of a game. And the other thing is, and I thought he handled it well, but, you know, the chance every time he shot a free throw, those are things that he's going to have to deal with. And I'm not talking about fair or unfair. It's just, he's going to have to deal with them. And I really thought shooting 5 for 6 from the free throw line with that crap going on, I think that was good for him, and he'll get the rest of his shots right. But it may be 2 or 3 weeks.
It looked like his legs kind of gave out a few times. And that's why, I mean, like, when you – it's different. You can run all you want, but when it's in the game, I mean, him attacking the basket, one time it looked like his legs buckled. I don't know if he's tired, but it's not the same conditioning. You know, obviously it's going to take some time. He hit his first three tonight. You're right. The Missouri game, he was like driving a Cadillac or a Hummer. He was just – he's in great shape. It's going to take him some time to get back to that. They're a good team with him, yes. I think when you look at the team itself, you got a guy coming off the bench in Luke Goody who can knock down shots. No, he's not the best defender, but he's not horrible either. I just like the team. I really, really do. Not everybody's in the winning the Big Ten championships and tournaments. They've done that. I want to see this team advance in the second round, and I think this is the team, I personally think, that can do it, because you have so many weapons, Cigar. We haven't even mentioned Coleman Hawkins, and I believe he had 22 points. I don't know how many rebounds he had.
He's 22 and 13.
Yes. I mean, he is probably one of the most improved players.
And 2 blocks and 2 steals.
Yes. And I want to find out what was said to him after the game. I'm telling you.
I believe he said something to Harmon, and Hawkins heard it. And so that's kind of.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I saw
and here's the thing, people are, it's funny. Like I agree with you. Like it's, you know, people are saying, you know, they need to play this guy more. Northwestern played basically 5 guys. You know, people are saying, well, Illinois played 5. I mean, Northwestern in the second half, if you go back and look at their second half box, Blake Preston played 2 minutes and Nick Martinelli played 6 minutes. That's it in the second half. That's it. I mean, so, you know, they got a total of 9 minutes in the last, you know, 5:25 off their bench. So so we said, well, Illinois tired because then they need to be in better shape then, because it didn't seem to bother the
Northwestern. Who in the hell thought they were tired? I didn't think, I mean, they were fatigued, but.
It's all over Twitter. It's all over our message board. I mean, just things like that.
No.
But I mean, those are the things that just drive me crazy, because it's like, you know, we're so myopic, you know, where we only see what happens with your team. you don't understand, like, you know, what's happening in college basketball. This is a tough game. Should Illinois have won this game? Yes. They should have won. They didn't. You know, they should have. But give North – sometimes you have to give the other team credit. And that's
yes.
Why Northwestern did what they
made
to.
A lot of good – Northwestern made a lot of good shots.
Tons of them.
They really did. It was a high-level college basketball game.
Yeah, and I think you. I think there's a lot to learn, too, because Illinois – a couple things, like I said, I think they have to learn how to get through some of those picks. And to be honest, I think that little hip thing that Northwestern does, I think Illinois should adopt it because it doesn't get called a lot. If you're going to, you know, as opposed to when Coleman gets caught, you know, with a wide base and they call that because you end up tripping a guy. You know, let's
the hip works really well on screens off the ball. Usually they will call that on that handoff.
Yeah, but you know, tonight,
but they didn't tonight.
No, not at all.
But on the off ball screens, they let guys move.
And then folks, the reason I noticed this, the refs, everybody knows my feeling. They ought to be full time trained, but better, et cetera.
Well, they're full time. They just travel over the country to be full time.
Right. Exactly. But no, they should be full time. Yeah. No,
they're not very good.
So anyway, but the only reason that I'm watching the hip thing is because I coached that. So when I see that, I'm like, hey, I did that, you know, and so and they are really good at it. Now here's the other thing is the grabbing and holding that they do on defense, that isn't allowed in the NCAA tournament, which is why the Big Ten has
struggled
because the way the games are called, which basically allows three or four slow teams to grab and hold, and you know, it just works for them.
It stinks, Mike.
But that kills you when you get into the tournament because then you try to grab and hold somebody, and it's a foul everywhere else in the country. And people wonder why the Big Ten hasn't done as well recently in the Big Ten tournament.
I watched the Iowa Maryland game before this game. I didn't go to the Northwestern game, and I watched Owen Freeman. I thought his jersey was going to get ripped, and he looked at the official like he was crazy. They don't call it. And I'm sitting here. I know that we can throw the numbers out there about the fouls. I don't agree with that. I don't care who said it. It could be the president. It could Martin Luther King could come back to life. I'm telling you, it's hard to make shots when they're hitting your arm and grabbing your arm. Some of those kids now Coleman Hawkins, his block that was clean. Justin Harmon and Terrence Shannon and Marcus Domas and Quincy was hit on the arm so many times. Those shots were flying all over the rim. And you know what? Like you just said, they don't call it. And that's what's bad about the Big Ten. And that is one of the reasons that they struggle. I don't want to see football anymore. This team is put together, and I don't think it's one of those teams. That's why I think they're built for March. I don't care. They can finish sixth in the Big Ten at this point, right? I could care less. Put them in the tournament because I think they can play with anybody in the country.
Well, with that, folks, you know, we've got another game coming up this week, Saturday, 2:00 against Indiana. That'll be at the State Farm Center. So Illinois has a few days of practice that they can work on these things. And then we get to see, like I said, it's a journey throughout the season. We'll see what they learned and see how they progressed. And if I was an Illinois player, I would be mad about this game. And I would be like, I hope we play these guys in the Big Ten tournament because I want to prove that the 30-point game was more like the truth than the overtime loss. That's how I would approach it. Brad, any final thoughts from you?
Yeah, I mean, it's life on the road is not easy in the Big Ten. You got to take care of your home games now. They've already got two road wins. They have to take care of the business at home. You know, you got multiple home games, you know, and you got to find a way to steal a couple more on the road. I mean, if you go 14-6, 15-5 in the Big Ten, something like that, they've already got three losses, but that 7-3 would split to 14-6. And I know they have tough games, but this was a game they could have won.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a chance to win this game. I mean, you know, and they didn't get it done. And so you come back and you play Indiana on Saturday and you got to come out and play. You got to play better defensively. And they're a different team. I get they're a different team. Indiana does not have Boo Booey, who is a really great creator. They don't have the shooters like Northwestern does. And you can see, like, and we talked about this in the offseason, like, the biggest issue Illinois has is guarding guards. Like, it's defending guards is still the breakdown. Even though, you know, Nicholson had his points, they were all because Boo Booey created them, right? I mean, Nicholson didn't do anything except catch balls and dunk them as a 7-foot guy. I mean, you know, he was good at that, like, most of the time, 6 out of 7 or whatever. But That's because Bowie creates it. Bowie created everything for them offensively. You know, and you have to, you can't let him do that. And you have to make it. The other thing I would say, you have to come up with a way. Here's my, why not make him not bring the ball up the floor? Like, why not deny him the ball?
Take the ball out of his hands, yeah.
Make some, run and double him in the backcourt and make him throw it, and then you know, go back and play. And then make it so he can't get the ball. I thought when any possession where he didn't have the ball or they didn't run a pin down was a busted play. And Northwestern is trying to drive and throw up some stuff. They made a few. But so I think that's where you got to make those adjustments. I think guys have to recognize. I just got info. Some, you know, we were talking about some of those switches. They were not supposed to switch on some of those.
See,
we were just talking about this. There were some of those actions where they were not supposed to switch, but they really, you know, they just, it was just the easy way out, especially when it was Luke. Luke was not supposed to be guarding.
Yeah, we were pretty certain that was the case.
That was not supposed to happen.
But it kept happening.
Right.
Which makes you wonder what's going on.
They liked the matchup when Hawkins would get switched on him.
Yeah.
They didn't mind that one. Yeah. And they don't, you know, but, you know, so, yeah, there were things like that. So it's just a matter of execution on both ends of the floor. And you get in a possession game. And this is Big Ten. This is NCAA tournament games. They're possession games. You go down the stretch. You got to make those plays. And it's not just offensive plays. You have to be sound defensively and understand what's your game plan, what's your plan defensively. And if you're going to do that, then you got to be, you got to execute. Just that simple.
Ed, final thoughts?
My final thoughts, there was a point in the game where I just stopped watching because I was trying not to enjoy the entertainment. I'm thinking, if I'm a coach, I don't care who Boo Booey was guarding in the game. If Illinois is going to be the master of booty ball, his ass would have been booty ball all night. I would have got him out of the game. Brad's right. He scored. He dictated for himself and for his teammates. If he's sitting on a bench in foul trouble, then you go at him. The game, Illinois has a chance to win. When you have an opportunity to get a guy in foul trouble, and I would have took advantage, I would have made sure anybody – I would have told my team, if he's guarding you, you get to the rim, you either score or get fouled. He was too important in the game. And I agree. I will end with this. I think it's a bad loss. It stings, but they have to beat somebody they're not supposed to. I don't think Wisconsin comes to Champaign. They're going to have to go beat a Wisconsin or go to Michigan State and make sure they beat Purdue at home. Because, yeah, I said I don't care if they win the Big Ten, but you don't want to go into a tournament as a 6 or 7 seed either. So it's the loss things before that, just because of that reason alone. You got to beat somebody else. I mean, and there's no easy wins. And you have to go to Maryland. They're starting to play a little bit better. So you know how what Brad Wunder was 2-8 against Maryland at this point.
Yep. So, folks, we will be back after these messages to wrap up the program.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly 2-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in 6 states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@IlliniGuys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@IlliniGuys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Eye on the Illini. We really, really appreciate you being here. And, of course, thanks to Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince for jumping on and talking about this overtime defeat. This is Mike Kegley saying, go Illini!